In 1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 14, Paul said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Some have asked from time to time when reading this, what does it mean that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth? Well, you think about a pillar, and you can see an illustration of one up here. This one's not very solid, but you get the idea. But the pillar, a pillar is something, the definition of it is, a column supporting the weight of a building, a prop or support. The ground, or ground, a prop, stable, unchanging, imperishable. When you think about temples and structures that were built with columns, I believe this would be a Corinthian column or something along that line, you know that when they built that column, that they would set it upon a very, very large rock that had been put in place so that when the column was set in place, that the weight of the building could be supported and it would be spread out through that base, through that foundation. And in doing that, you find that that which is to be supported, which is in that case a building, that it would be supported, it would be held up, and it would be secure. Well, Jesus put a great deal of interest or emphasis upon the truth. He said, Paul says here that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. In John 17 and verse 17, in Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And Jesus put great emphasis on that. He said on one occasion to those disciples, to those Jews who believed on him, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. So we find that we can know what we have the truth identified. We see that the truth can be known, it can be understood. The psalmist said of old in Psalm 119 and verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." Paul said in Ephesians 3 and writing to the Ephesians church, that the things, that the mysteries of the kingdom, that they had been revealed to him and he wrote them. He said, so that when you read, you may understand. So we can know what truth is. We can understand it. It is not that hard to ascertain. And Jesus said that the truth is that which would make us free. So the similarity, there's a great similarity here between this symbolism and what we find in the book of the Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, we find that Jesus is walking among seven golden candlesticks or lampstands, some translations say. The lampstand was not the source of light. The lampstand was holding up the lamps from which the light would radiate. Lampstands, as far as we know historically and from what we know about the language today, the most correct translation. But it would be the same if it was what we think of as a candlestick. The candlestick does not produce the light. It holds up the candle, which would emanate that, from which that light would emanate or radiate. And so we find a similar symbolism that is being used in both of these cases. The similarities in what Jesus said and Paul's statement here are obvious. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul said that we must rightly divide the word of truth. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, he said, because all scripture is given by inspiration, it's important. It is the only thing that can make a man complete, perfect in his service to the word of God. Well, the church is then, as the pillar and the ground of truth, what does that mean? It means simply that the church is to uphold the revealed word, the Bible. So the church is not the source of truth, but it is the support of the truth. And as we have illustrated right here, we can see that if this column, the pillar and the ground, that upon which it was placed, is standing holding up the word of God, it is the responsibility of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to hold up the word and to hold it forth. And that's what Paul is saying here. But that brings up some other things that we need to consider. We need to consider carefully because we find all of us will find ourselves responsible for this. There's four things I want to mention tonight. Number one, the church must discern the truth. The church must discern the truth. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, and by the way, if you have your Bible, If you want to open it up to 1 Timothy, you're going to find several passages from different chapters that we will note tonight to make sure that what we're teaching is the truth and not just merely ideas. In 1 Timothy 2, look at verse 1. Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Paul, writing by inspiration, said, it is God's desire, it is God's intent that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth, that all men would be saved. That is his desire. He will not force it, but that they would be saved and that they would come to a knowledge of the truth. Remember that Jesus said we can know the truth, John 8:32, and the Lord desires that we would learn it. He emphasized that his words were true, that is, Paul did, because they were inspired. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, he said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or in faith and in truth, the New King James Version says there. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul addressed people who were challenging him. And he said, if there is any man that is a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. And so Paul said, I'm teaching the truth. You can investigate what I'm saying, but you need to pay attention to what I'm saying because it is the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find the qualifications given for elders. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, and then in verse 6, we find two things here. Number one, that the elder is to be apt to teach, and also that the elder is to not be a novice. Why is that? Because an elder is going to have the opportunity and then the responsibility to be able to teach others and to hold forth the Word of God, the light of the Word of God, so that people can understand and know the truth. In the book of Titus, we find a similar passage, but I'm going to read that one, Titus 1, verse 9 beginning. Holding fast, speaking of an elder, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. In other words, for dirty money, money that would be paid them so that they can hear whatever it was they wanted to hear. We find that the Word of God must be handled correctly. So this is involved in the qualification of elders. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we mentioned already, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One translation says, handling aright the word of truth. The only thing that can make anybody complete in Christ is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 again. In 1 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 8, Paul said, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unruly and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul is telling us the church must discern the truth. It must know what the truth is. The truth is attainable, it is achievable, it is understandable, and it's our responsibility to handle it correctly. 2 Timothy 2:15. Number two, the church must declare the truth. Paul said in writing to the church at Rome, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm going to declare the gospel. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a preacher. Paul was in a position to be able to speak to many people in many different situations. He taught people in personal Bible studies. He taught people in large assemblies. He had the opportunity to teach in so many different ways. But we must declare it. We must declare the gospel, not just from the pulpit. But it must be declared from the pulpit with courage and conviction, because the gospel message, the word of God, that we're trying to uphold, the truth of God's word, is the only thing that will save people's souls. And if we care anything about the soul of another person, we must declare it. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy as a preacher, but is it not just as important for a Christian when sitting down and having a private Bible study, or for the eldership, or for Bible class teachers? Is it not just as important for them? Is it not important for all of us to make sure that we are the pillar and the ground of the truth? That we not only discern the truth, but that we declare the truth. Paul said to Timothy something along these lines in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not the teachers, but the people heaping them to themselves. And they shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned away to fables. Why would they turn away from the truth? Would it possibly be because the church of which they were a part was not the pillar and the ground of the truth, because it wasn't holding up the truth? Because it wasn't giving a thus saith the Lord for what they were doing? Paul said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. We're to be able to give an answer to every man a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and in fear. Passage after passage after passage tells us that as a child of God, we need to be able to share with other people why we are Christians and why they should be too. Not only why they should be, but the blessing and benefit they will receive by being obedient to the gospel of Christ. That's the responsibility of the church. It is to declare the truth. Jesus sent his disciples into all the world. To his apostles, the 12, told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? To convert people to Christ. In Matthew's record, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What were they doing? They were holding up the light of God's word. The teaching didn't stop with the people who first heard and obeyed the gospel, but it was carried on. They taught others. Each one teach one. We've heard before. And in doing so, the church would grow. Number three, the church must demonstrate the truth. Must demonstrate the truth. Notice in our text in verse 15, Paul said, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Well, how was he to behave? Well, everything that Paul has written has basically told him how to behave. Let's notice. Number one. In chapter 1 and verse 4, ignore fables and endless genealogies. Ignore fables and endless genealogies. Now, I love doing genealogical research, or I did. I kind of got burned out. After a while, it will drive you crazy if you're not careful. It's fun to do, but that's different from what they were doing. Several people to whom Paul would have been preaching would have been people who have said, because I am of the tribe of Benjamin or because I am of the tribe of Judah, then I'm more important than anyone else. There were people who were putting so much emphasis upon their heritage, their bloodline, their genealogy, that they were looking down upon others and they were being lifted up with pride. So fables, endless genealogies, what were they to do? Turn back to the truth. To the truth of God's word. In verse 5 of chapter 1, love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a true faith. Chapter 2 and verse 2, pray for all men, especially governmental leaders, so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Chapter 2 and verse 8, that holy men should lead in prayer. Chapter 2 and verse 8, that women should dress modestly. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, that women cannot preach or exercise authority over a man. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. that the church is overseen by elders who must maintain certain qualifications or meet certain qualifications. Chapter 3, 8 through 13, that deacons also must meet certain qualifications. Chapter 4 and verse 11, these things command and teach. Chapter 4 and verse 16, take heed to and continue in the doctrine to be saved. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, do not rebuke older men, honor widows. Chapter 5, verses 17 through 22, the treatment of elders. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, rules for masters and servants. In chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, be content with the material things that you have. So Paul wrote these things to tell Timothy how he ought to behave himself in the church of the living God, which is in the house of the living God, which is the church of God. So all of these things he is writing to tell Timothy how to behave in the church. And of course, we realize that these things carry on to us. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul said, these things command and teach. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation. We would say manner of life for that word conversation. In charity, we would say love. In spirit, in faith, in purity. What is implied here? It is implied that if Timothy did not behave himself as a Christian young man, that people could despise. People would likely, some of them would despise him because he was a younger man to start with. But if he misbehaved, people would write him off very quickly. And Paul is telling him, you better pay attention to the way that you live. You must demonstrate the truth. Let them not despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. If you say one thing and you do another, no one's going to follow you. No one will take you seriously. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's probably no other church mentioned in Scripture that had as many problems as the church in Corinth. They were suing one another. They were jealous of one another. They were misusing miraculous spiritual gifts. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And what influence did that have on the rest of the world? When other people saw the chaos and the division that was going on at the church at that time, and Paul wrote to them to correct that, and we know from the 2 Corinthian letter that they received his correction well and they changed those things. But we've got to demonstrate. We've got to demonstrate the truth. Consider the problems that existed in Corinth. Consider the problems that existed in some of the other churches. There were problems of the church at Rome. There were the Gentiles upon whom the Jews were looking down their noses at them, chapter 1. And in chapter 2, then Paul addresses the Jews for their hypocrisy. And then chapter 3 is that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it doesn't matter which congregation it was. In the book of the Revelation, look at all of the congregations that had problems, and they were addressed. And Paul tells Timothy, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. I've heard it said that doctrine doesn't matter. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it is imperative. It is imperative. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Number 4 and finally, the church must defend the truth. Must defend the truth. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. Paul said, in regard to the instruction concerning masters and servants, he said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. You see what the problem is? The truth is not there. They're not holding up. They're not being the pillar and the ground of the truth. They're not holding it up. It's missing. Supposing that gain is godliness, what's the answer? What is the solution? Paul said, from such withdraw withdraw thyself. If someone departs from the doctrine, they leave the doctrine, they will not return to the doctrine of Christ. Not the opinions of men, but the doctrine of Christ. Timothy, withdraw yourselves from that individual. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words, or pattern of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. From house to house, from community to community, from generation to generation, we must defend the truth. We must discern the truth and demonstrate the truth, but we also must defend the truth. 2 Timothy 3:14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about all scripture, that scripture is the standard, it's the inspired standard, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. And it's the only thing that will make us complete, verse 17. In Jude 3, Jude wrote, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And some translations there say once and for all delivered to the saints, and that is in the Greek. The point is that there is a body of truth. And it is the church's responsibility to discern it, to defend it, to demonstrate it. And we, as the church, are bound to do that. Why must the church be the pillar on the ground of truth? Because God's placed his trust in us. An imaginary story is told about Jesus going back to heaven. And according to the story, the angels came to him. They asked him, Master, did you accomplish what you intended to upon the earth? And he said, Yes, I did. I left my plan of salvation with a few men, and they're going to go out and they're going to share it with others, and they will share it with more, and it will continue to grow. And the angel said, But what if they don't? What is your plan? And he said, according to the story, I have no other plan. Jesus had to put his confidence in those 12 men, those that he sent forth. He had to put his confidence and the ones that they would teach. Here's a question. If the church does not teach and practice the truth, then who will? It certainly won't be the world. God knows that not everyone will be faithful. Again, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But the Holy Spirit said there are going to be people who will turn away. They're going to leave. That is sad. It will break our heart. But there's nothing we can do about a person who gives up on Christ. What we have to do is realize our responsibility as the church to be a part of that pillar and the ground of the truth, to uphold the Word. We didn't write the Word. We're not the source of this message. The Holy Spirit is the source of this message. It's not our responsibility to rewrite it. It's our responsibility to hold it up so the world can see it. The truth must be practiced and proclaimed by the church, by the elders, by the deacons, by the Bible class teachers, by the person in the pulpit, by the person in the pew, It doesn't matter who it is. We as the church must uphold the truth. The Bible tells us that we need to speak the truth in love, and we do. And we need to lovingly and vigorously discern, declare, demonstrate, and defend the truth of the gospel of Christ. The pillar and the ground of the truth. We are the support mechanism that holds up the word for the world to see. That's our job. We do that, we must do that by starting out by being a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and would repent of sins and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ tonight, have not done that already, then we encourage you to do that. If you haven't been holding up the truth without fear or compromise, then we need to get back to being the kind of servants that Jesus needs us to be. If you haven't been faithful and you need to come back home, we invite you to do that. If we can help in any way, would you come as we stand and as we sing? What?